Yes, love is begging door to door, but finds the silence like no one lives there anymore.
All right, everybody, here we are. Day one and day two, I guess we'll talk about. Saw a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff over the last couple days. It is I, Dolly Domofsky. Also joining me is Stephen Strum.
Yeah.
Ben Wayan. And Tony Domofsky.
Those two are going to be on the podcast.
Yeah, they're going to be dead anyways in about 3 seconds. Anyway, so we saw a lot of stuff yesterday. I personally spent a lot of time at the Sony booth yesterday and took a look at a lot of the indie games that were being put out. And I really got to hand it to Sony for really giving that push for the indie games on the PS4. We took a look at Mercenary Kings and what was the other game? Secret Ponchos, yeah, which is a twin stick multiplayer kind of shooter game. Mercenary Kings is a kind of the 2D side scrolling. It's not Metal Slug. It's the art style, thanks to the artists that behind Scott Pilgrim. I'm saying a lot because we're so tired. Yeah, we'll go this way. We're actually walking towards another event right now. But found those games both to be really fun. I also had a chance to play Drive Club. Again, I'm a Forza diehard, but Drive Club was fantastic. It's sort of arcadey, realistic racer. So
is it one of those sort of like, I don't know what you'd even say, grid or dirt or something?
No.
Like that. It's like a midway point?
No, not even. I think it's, maybe it's closer to realism, but the goals and the challenges are very arcade-based. So, for instance, you'll come across stretches of road where you have to drift better than your opponent. And so that means, obviously, you might slow down during that turn. You won't take that turn as fast, so you'll lose time overall in the race, but you'll get points for drifting correctly and cornering and so forth. So, very cool. I enjoyed it. I took a look at Rain.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the indie game. It's indie, isn't it, I believe?
Yeah, that's an indie game.
Very interesting. It stars an invisible kid who can only be seen if he's around water.
Well, he can't be seen.
He can't be seen.
You see the droplets hitting him.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. So, and he's kind of trying to find this girl. But the puzzles are really interesting. I thought they were kind of cool.
Like, let's talk about the puzzles. Let's have a conversation here, is what I'm saying. Let's not go into podcast mode. Let's, what kind of puzzles are going on in that?
Well, one of the interesting things is that the demo that they had on the show floor included walking through rain to see your character, obviously. And as soon as you step out of the rain and go under a shelter, your character disappears, and actually all you see is his footsteps. Well, that doesn't seem like much, but once you throw in these kind of demon dogs who are always hunting you, who can kind of carry the same characteristics of can only be seen in, you know, when droplets of water are on them, then your goal is to avoid them because they can see you, so you hop in and out of shelter. If you want to distract them, you splash through a heavy puddle. They'll go one way, you kind of run around the other. So the mechanic was basically based around avoiding anything, really. You obviously can't attack them
directly.
There's
no combat or anything.
No, you're just a kid.
All right.
So yeah, I spent a little bit of chunk of time on that. I'll go into it further on in the article. Puppeteer was a interesting game. It's tough to explain it while we're walking, but considered almost like these active dioramas where it's a puzzle game, also a puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
At least the section that I played.
Yeah, it looks like, and very specifically it has the kind of aesthetic of a stage on.
Yes.
And that you are.
Yes.
Like a Punch and Judy show kind of.
Very pretty. Very pretty game. I definitely got to say it's, the PS3 still pumps out these gorgeous designs. I mean, it was the most powerful of the current generation consoles.
Part of that is just that it's not, like, trying to be super realistic.
Exactly.
We talked about that
yep.
last time. It's just trying to display its own kind of unique art style and stuff. But although I would say it kind of looks pretty Media Molecule-esque.
Yeah, like yeah,
that
it does.
That sort of house style that they have.
It's going to be one of those games that, I liked it. It just didn't grip me for anything. You know, it's going to be, I don't know. I'll have to play a longer demo or try it when it comes out in retail to give a better assessment. But it didn't wow me. Initially, and then Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah, that's the one where
we had a great. So Steven and I had a great conversation. We were walking back from the convention center yesterday. In that, when Beyond Two Souls was announced, I thought, "Who needs next generation? Look how wonderful, gorgeous, amazing this game looks." Well, now that we've seen PS4, Beyond Two Souls looks dated, like almost instantly. And I felt bad for it because It was Heavy Rain with a different setting, different characters, different story.
I mean,
same mechanic that we all know and love of Heavy Rain.
I mean, that ties back into Puppeteer too, though. It's like David Cage and Quantic Dream in general. Heavy Rain is all about trying to mimic real life as much as possible, like the faces and everything like that.
Yep.
So when they're trying to be realistic, the technical limitations of it become just a lot more apparent.
Yep. But it was, it was still gorgeous. It played great. The whole idea is that you have a secondary soul, at least a demo we tried, which was set in Afghanistan. You have a ghost dad, basically, named Aiden, who...
Violent, actually.
So you send him out. He can either possess people, and if you possess people, you basically kill other people with these possessions.
Uh-huh.
Or you strangle people, or you choke them, or you lift. You know, you basically you aim to hurt these people with quick time events. Very interesting. He's on a tether, so you can only go so far. But I enjoyed it. I became a Heavy Rain fan after playing it. You know, it took me a couple of playthroughs, but I to love that game.
So while you're controlling, the ghost in the cutscenes...
Nothing else happens. You just play the ghost in the cutscene. Everything seems...
Well, what is Ellen Page doing the whole time?
Ellen Page is just hanging out.
She just goes and hides inside of a dumpster.
She hides inside of a dumpster. I mean, literally, it's that simple. So, look at the line already for this event. So, yeah, that was what I played yesterday. A lot of Sony stuff. How about you, Steven?
Yesterday, I hit EVR, which is crazy. It's been talked to death, and they're not showing anything really new. I saw CCP, and in general, they're not talking about anything new, but it was some pretty... it was my first time using the Oculus Rift, and I was not expecting it to be as low resolution as it was. When you see those pixels literally shoved right up into your eyes, you can see every last bit of aliasing right there. It's supposedly 720p, but once you actually, get a look at it, it's like trying to hold a 3DS with the 3D turned on it up to your eyes, and it just doesn't look right.
Huh.
But the actual game itself looks pretty interesting. It's obviously just that really small team over there. I wish there had been something a little bit more new over there. As we all know, I'm the EVE Online guy here. But it was mostly just, hey, come look at our Odyssey update, which already went live before E3 started. Hey, come look at our slideshow of what's going to be coming in Dust 514. And it was basically nothing new about when they're going to roll out things like... planetary conquest across more than one region. Nothing about when they're going to have a player-driven economy. Nothing about that. They seem like they're aware, self-aware of the fact that it doesn't control very well as a shooter. And the build I played actually did feel a lot tighter than what I've experienced before while I've been reviewing it and stuff like that. So it's pretty interesting to see that is something that they can just go into code and dick around with,
mm-hmm.
and that they're going to improve upon it. But I can't even remember what I saw yesterday. It's a blur.
I'm sure we'll definitely record again before this week is over.
Yeah.
But,
I went to go see Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think about that?
It feels a hell of a lot like Nocturne, which is Shin Megami Tensei 3 here in America. At least the way it plays, the actual look of the game and feel of it actually are very, very different. Whereas especially recently, most of the Shin Megami Tensei games take a modern setting and try to mess around with that, with Persona and Summoner and all that stuff. This one is very much like a sort of a almost cyberpunk fantasy kind of thing going on to it. There's a character is running around with an AI on his wrist, and everybody is still using swords and such because it's Shin Megami Tensei. It's all melee focused and whatnot. But it plays sort of a fusion between Nocturne and Persona, where the encounters are still based around running up to the enemies on the screen, and you can swipe out with your sword and attack them, do extra damage, get a free turn, all that stuff. But it's still got the turn-based combat of Nocturne with the press turns.
Okay.
Press turns in Shin Megami Tensei are, if you hit an enemy's weakness, you get a free turn after that, and you can keep going and going until you use the press turn on all of your regular turns. And one thing they've added to this one, though, is that there's a random chance of each of those press turns becoming a smirk, which is your character. If you can keep your turns going all the way through again, so that your original character who got the smirk can attack again, they will do extra damage and stuff like that. But for the most part, they weren't giving out details about the storyline or stuff like that.
Yeah, that's releasing this summer, though, isn't it? Like July?
It's so, second week of July, though.
That's interesting.
It's coming soon.
Excellent. Okay.
That's, oh, man.
That's all you can remember right now. We'll do another one. We'll do another one. How about Ben? What did you see yesterday? That you can't remember?
Can't remember?
No.
You saw alcohol is what you saw.
Yeah, I saw a lot of alcohol. I saw saw SteelSeries. They had a bunch of their, they're showing off their H-Series headsets.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really exciting. I mean, I didn't really hear anything coming out of them, but they showed me what new improvements they made out of that series now. So it's really exciting right there. I went to the EA area and saw Titanfall. I thought that was really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
At first, you know, they were like, "Oh, we got two guys playing the demo, playing the game, playing the back." And then they opened up a curtain, and you saw 14 other people playing along with them. So you actually got to saw like multiplayer gameplay along with them fighting everyone else, hopping onto the Titans, punching the soldiers as they explode and everything.
I've been hearing like crazy positive hype over Titanfall. When I saw it at the press conference, though, I thought it was kind of boring looking. I mean, it looked solid, but it looked like a video game.
Think like Battlefield, the Conquest mode where you're capturing flags.
Sure.
Think of that mode mixing with Hawken, and you have Titanfall. So I think it's going to be really interesting, especially with the different strategies and whatnot. You have jetpacks where you can jump onto buildings. The way that you bounce off of side of walls and whatnot to get to different areas.
Sure.
So it's really interesting. Got to play in a 64-person battle in Battlefield 4.
Okay. Did it feel like the map sizes were, keeping everybody congested and...
It was a little bit more wide open.
Really? Okay.
And with the commander mode, actually telling the players, this is happening. There's a tank towards this direction. Try to avoid it as all can. It felt cleaner, better than Battlefield 3. Weapon felt a little bit more realistic at that point. It just felt like an overall better game. So,
interesting.
Saw a lot more. I'm just trying to.
I'll come back to it. We'll report again. Well, Tony, you saw what maybe the best zombie game of all at E3. What was it?
Yes. I keep forgetting the name. Destiny. Where the Dynasty Warriors, where the bad guys just watch me kill them and don't do anything at all. But the real show stealer for me, DuckTales.
Yeah, you played DuckTales?
45 minutes to play it. Totally worth it. Blew my mind. Huh. Brings you back to childhood, but it just plays like a fun game. I'm hoping that
just plays like a fun game. Back the box quote.
I'm waiting for Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers to come out. That's my next one.
That's the jam right there. That's
where you can
best
pick
game.
Each other up and throw each other. Outside of that, Spark was cool. It was like Minecraft, but on steroids and of the future.
Wait, Spark was like Minecraft?
That's what it felt like. You're building worlds and you're running around them. That's what I took away from it as they showed me. Really inventive, really creative, and very thorough. So we'll see how it goes. But
okay.
That was my takeaway.
Excellent. Well, we'll catch up with you guys again. We're right now in line over at the Saints Row party thingy.
Trying to Aubrey Norris.
Yeah, so we will chat with you guys later on, all right? And that was day one something, two something, mix something, all over the place. See ya.
Disempowered, the scattering flock dances.